know, one of the great tools, if you think, that people don't probably think about is that God's given us is our imagination, you know. We know about faith and we know about confession. We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing from God, you know, whether it's the scriptures or whether someone's speaking by the Spirit. Those words build pictures in our minds where the imagination is. And, you know, many people think like imagination is like for kids, you know, just for children or fantasy. But like, if we look at the scriptures, even if you go there, you know, we find that imagination is a part of the heart. You know, how we see, how we believe, and ultimately how we live, you know. And God uses the imagination to give us like vision and direction. So if you've heard me say, like, if you can see it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand, right? It's because we can see the dream, the desire, the things that we hope for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're seeing it in our minds. Yeah? We're seeing it in our minds first. And then we can hold it in our hands. So God uses imaginations to give us that vision, to give us that hope, that direction. And it says, in, you know, where there is no vision or revelation, the people wander aimlessly. So when God gives his vision, he's going to build up our imagination with the faith-filled words, like when he said to Joshua, you know, everywhere you put your foot, this is yours, you know. And then he says, and so you meditate in my law. And that word meditate, like I've shared many times before, is to mutter, to say under your breath. And it also means to imagine. So it's not only saying and confessing, it's seeing it in your mind through the words that you're speaking. So, you know, so God uses the imagination on the positive side. The enemy will try to corrupt the imagination, like through fear, lies, wrong images. Like, you know, when the children of Israel, they saw the giants in the land and they were afraid, you know. So the opposition wants us to think negatively and that we can't get what God says we can have, or we can't manifest what God says we can have when we can. So here, try and build the imagination through wrong words and perception, yeah. But you know, like our words, our emotions and our actions, they all interact with what we continually picture within our hearts. So we want to get the right image in mind, you know. We want to have that right focus, and God's word brings that focus. God's word builds our imagination. God's word gives us vision and direction. And so we can see, you know, what God says about the imagination and how to use it in a godly way. And how imagination, motions, words, faith and actions all connect to produce visible results in our life. And that's what we want. We want to see the visible results, just what you were saying. So when you were speaking earlier on, that just come to my mind, like, you know, you said you want to see what was being spoken, yeah. But God first speaks it so that you got the picture of it, and then you can visualize it, and then you can imagine yourself doing it, you know, seeing yourself run through a troop and leap over a wall, you know, see yourself beating the Goliaths and the giants in your life, you know, against what the five senses is saying. So imagination is basically that inner picture of the heart. Like in Proverbs 23:7, you know, it's for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So in the scripture, the heart is not just emotion. It includes your thoughts, your imagination, what you're seeing, your belief system, and the deeper inner pictures within your heart. You know, like I said before, as a man thinketh, so is he, right? So it tells us a powerful truth, this record here, that, you know, you are moved in the direction of the pictures you carry on the inside of you. So if you see yourself as a failure, if you see yourself as never achieving, or you're never good enough to do something or accomplish something because other people may seem to beat you to the punch, or, you know, beat you to what you want to do, they seem to do it before you, and you just never get there. There's always someone better. If you think that, you know, because you've experienced it and then you're saying it, then that's what will always happen. We can change with God as he inspires us with his words and he gives us direction and he builds our vision. We can change the outcomes of what's going on in our life with God, you know. So, for example, if the inner picture is small, fearful, you know, you're condemning yourself and you're a defeated type of person, and you, even if you confess otherwise, you're eventually, you know, your life lines up with the negative things that you've been thinking and speaking, right? Even if you've been trying to confess differently. Because we know, we've learned that it's with the heart, with the mouth, we confess unto righteousness, and with the mouth, we confess unto salvation, and with the heart, we believe unto righteousness, right? So the mouth and the heart, what we believe in that heart and what we say with mouth have to be in agreement, yeah, for the thing to take place. So, you know, if the image of the picture in our hearts and minds is of God's promises, his righteousness, his peace, and we got great confidence in Christ, then our life will begin to reflect that. You know, we start to come up having great confidence. You know, before I used to see myself, no, not getting there, not known enough, I'm just not quite clever enough. But when I got the sound doctrine, then it built my faith, my imagination. Faith is where the imagination is, right? Faith is what comes from words being spoken. And like I've shared before, like words paint pictures in the mind, yeah? So now my confidence is up. Now I can really see myself living the life that the great believers do, you know, the ones that are getting the results, the ones that are getting the fruit, and I can encourage other people. I see myself doing it before I actually do it. And that's a great way to move with God, and it's a great practice that see yourself ministering to all your people in Africa. And, you know, whatever the imagination of your heart is concerning the words spoken to you, what God's put in there, see yourself doing it. And then speak like it's already done. Live like you've already lived it, like it's not a surprise to you. So when it starts to manifest, it's just like, yeah, I know this. This has always been that. But, you know, like, but some believers get afraid of the word imagination because the scriptures has shown a negative side of imagination, like Genesis 6:5. It says, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So that's a negative picture of the mindset of what's going on in someone's heart. Imagination is in the depths of someone's heart, what they're thinking and the processes of the pictures that they're seeing, how they view life, how they view something, how they see something. And but we also know, like in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So the answer is not to destroy imagination, but to subdue it and renew it, right? So, you know, we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're to cast down imaginations, and we only allow the right godly imagination shaped by God's words to us to dominate in our thinking. And that's why we're to think on whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are wonderful. All that stuff it says in Philippians chapter 4:8, right? You know, first of all, God there in 6 says, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God shall keep your heart and mind by Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true. That's where we need to keep our thinking. And then, you know, and we're not to be conformed to this world. We're not to think according to the words of this world, but according to the words of God. And we're to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when we start to believe God and we start to practice the things of God, now we've got an opportunity to prove what is that good and what is that acceptable. And what is that perfect will of God? So the transformation doesn't happen on the outside, right? It happens on the inside, because it's what's on the inside that we're renewing our minds to. So it starts with the thoughts and the imagination of our heart. And God has been putting this in my mind, you know, about our imagination, because, you know, I've talked a lot about vision, goals, desires, confessions and stuff like that. But really, like, you know, we got to see it in our minds first. You know, like God saw things in his mind first. If you look at Abraham, like, where does it say it? Genesis 13, and it says, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, lift up thine eyes and look, for all the land which thou seest to thee, which will I give it. So God was saying, look at all the land before you. All of this land is yours. So God did not just hand Abraham the land. He first expanded his sight, what he could see. Lift up thine eyes and look. That's what God was saying. So God's inviting Abraham to imagine, to see beyond the present limitations that were in front of him. And it's the same with you, right there where you're ministering. You know, God says you're going to move the word in all of France and all of Africa. Now, faith has come in that area. Now you need to see it in your mind from the word spoken. What does that look like? How does that look like to you? How do you see it? You see yourself ministering. You've got to see yourself ministering and people calling you for one-on-ones. People coming from there to your house to see you and for you to work with them. And for you to go to them to preach and take them the good news and to encourage them. You know? And so you've got to see it in your heart, in your mind. So God always works with the faith. And then, like all the lands which thou seest, to thee will I give it. Then what could he see became the measure of what he could receive, right? So what you can see in your mind, you can hold in your hand. It'd be the measure of what you conceive, right? So God deals with us the same way, like he did with Abraham. He gives promises in his word. And like we see in the scripture and the spirit, he enlarges that inner picture by his spirit God in us. So we can see ourselves walking in the promises. You know, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You can do all things through Christ. These are words that are building our imagination and seeing ourselves like Jesus Christ. You know, when you hear about Jesus Christ healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the leper, you can see the pictures in your mind, or I can anyway, of him putting his hands and commanding and devil spirits splitting out, you know, running away and people being delivered. And I can do that. I can do that because Jesus said I can do that if I believed on the works that he'd done. And not only can I do it, but I can do greater works. You know, and it says in the scripture, you know, like where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. People perish. People get lost. So it's great that you brought up the vision tonight of your desire from the words that were spoken. And God only wants to enhance it for you. He's saying now you see yourself walking and ministering amongst these people. How you've imagined it in your heart or in your mind's eyesight. Now God enlarged the vision so that we can see this work in a bigger way, a clearer way. And you want to become clear. You know, sometimes we can be at blurry vision, especially when you wake up in the morning. Sometimes you're fishy, you know, you're just opening your eyes. You may have a little bit of sleep in your eyes. And, you know, so you kind of wash your face to get any sleep out of your eyes. So you, I can see nicely now. Or if you're someone that wears glasses, you can see a bit more clearly now, you know. So we need to have a clear image and picture of what we're doing with God. That gives us hope. Like the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we can see it in our minds, we will manifest it. And it's just holding to that and it's thinking that way and speaking that way. So vision is the holy use, like H-O, like I am holy. The holy use of imagination in line with what God has spoken. That's what imagining, when we move in line with what God has spoken, like Lawrence, you're going to move the word in all of the UK, all of Europe, and then God expanded it for me to USA, right, and wherever he wants me to move. So that's an open invitation everywhere, right? And we can all move the word everywhere, but specifically, he's given me a focus, all of the UK. Well, I haven't seen it in the physical, all in the UK, or in Europe, all in Europe, or all in USA, but there are parts of it, yeah? Now God's given me something I can look at. So when I go to USA the last couple of times to see the labourers that connect to me, my vision is enlarged. When I'm speaking with you, my vision is enlarged, right? And now, like working with people, my vision is enlarged. Now my desire is for them to be successful, for them to really get many laborers and to be great leaders and to have many fellowships, even above me. You know, because if they're connecting with me, they're, you know, I'm a part of that. And that means I've been delivering God's message perfectly from God to them, to encourage them. I've helped them. And I'm moving God's word that way with them. I was speaking to a believer tonight, you know, one-on-one. And she is getting people coming to her left, right and centre at the moment. And they're all potential labourers, you know, they're all potential. They're people that are listening and God's bringing these people around this person. And I said, you're doing great. You know, just keep that vision. Just like you, now you want to work with these people. Give them the heavenly words. Build the vision in them. Tell them they can speak in tongues and they can speak by the Spirit. Encourage them to honour God. Encourage them to connect. Encourage them to pray for labourers. Tell them that they're ready to go. They don't need classes or anything. They've got the Spirit of the living God. And we can do the same. We can encourage this, you know. And that's what God wants us to do. So, you know, God uses the imagination to impart vision. And so he's at work greatly. And he wants you to be full of expectation. And so, you know, imagination, meditation, faith, words, action, they all work together. So like I said in Joshua 1:8, and I love this record, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. That means to mutter, to say to oneself, basically, to imagine. Well, what was he imagining? What was written in the law, but also what God had told him he was going to do. Everywhere you put your foot, Joshua, is yours. Even unto the great rivers Euphrates, unto all the coast and the going down of the sun, all that stuff, yeah? And God says, meditate in it day and night. Keep this vision in front of you day and night. For then thou shalt make, for then thou, not God, but thou, Joshua, shall make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. So the thing is, it says here, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. It's saying you're going to make your way prosperous. You're going to have good success. Because God has already made us successful and prosperous. It's already done in God's eyes. And then when we align up and come into agreement for our words, action and vision, imagination, then we will... We've basically made that way prosperous. We've come into agreement with God. We're moving on the words of God and the direction of God and the inspiration of God. But it's up to us. It's like I heard a testimony from, I think it was Kenneth Hagin, if I'm right, where he had a dream that he was speaking to Jesus. And he said they were having this conversation and all of a sudden a devil popped up in front, in between them. And the devil started to speak really loud so he couldn't even hear what Jesus was saying. But he somehow knew in his mind that Jesus can understand him from the mind. And he said, Jesus, you know, tell this devil to go. And Jesus turned around and said to him, this is in a dream, you know, I've given you the authority. You need to cast it out. You have the authority to do this. You use your authority. And this is how Kenneth Hagin started to understand about the authority we have. But God is not going to do it. He's given it up to us to do. Like if we think in Corinthians, it says that God has given us the word and ministry of reconciliation. That same word and ministry of reconciliation like Jesus had. You know, the responsibility of that to preach and teach and to reconcile men and women back to God. We got the same. But it's going to happen through us. We got to decide whether we're going to speak it or not. We decide whether we're going to live unto God or not. We decide whether we're going to speak in tongues or not. Or we're going to honour God or not. It's all on us. We have the authority. We don't have to pray to God to heal someone. We just go and do it. Because we've got the power and authority to do it. We're already commissioned in a way to do it. The power's already been delegated to us through Christ. So, like, you don't have to say, God, please. Like, we don't really have to pray to minister to someone. I think my practice is I pray, then I minister. That's what I kind of do. But really, we can just say, be healed, you know, and that's it. It should be done the same way as if Jesus done it. And that's the real authority we got. So it's all about practice. It's all about understanding God's good heart, that everything is there done for us, but we got to enforce the promises through saying them, thinking them, confessing them, moving in that way, meditating upon it, you know, meditating upon God's word, so that we get what? Good success. Like this imagination subject, I've meditated upon this. You know, I've really thought through these things with God. I've asked God to give me an understanding heart. I've asked God to give me wisdom where I lack it concerning these things, the knowledge of the holy, the things that people know but no one teaches. They keep it to themselves, you know, or only a few people pick it up because they're too indoctrinated with the traditional systems of the world, you know. So like meditation, what is meditation? What is meditation? I have to think. So like meditation is like repeating God's words, and we can do that in our hearts and our minds silently, yeah, and we can do it by confession also. No, like, no, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can repeat that out of my mouth. I can also do it in my mind. So it's, you know, we can rehearse it in our minds and we can also say it. And then we got to see ourselves in God's words. That we're literally living this word. We're doing this word. You know, that we are, like Jesus is the living word. Like we're living that word. Christ is living his life in us and through us. You know, we see ourselves doing what, you know, God is saying. And we rehearse it internally, inside, through picture and words. So when I say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, what image do I have in my mind of that? You know, I'm seeing myself laying hands on the sick, commanding the dead to rise up, casting out devils. I can see that picture in my mind. When, you know, because I've got my mind focused in that way. I decide what I think and what I don't think. And I decide what I'm going to imagine and what I don't want to imagine. So, you know, when the imagination is filled with God's words to us, then we'll make our way successful and prosperous. And that's what God wants us to have. Like Hebrews 11:1, again, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So hope for things we confidently expect. These things we will see inwardly, right? Not seen yet means like it's not yet visible outwardly, but already substantial inwardly through faith. So we already see it done inside. So like when I've gone to India, I've ministered to people and they say, yeah, it's done, I'm healed. Then now there may not be a manifestation of anything there. But they already see themselves as done, and they manifest that healing, whether it comes later on, or it comes in over a period of time. Like I ministered to a lady there that was blind and had a brain. She had a cancerous brain tumor which made her blind in her eye. Nothing happened when I ministered to her, but later on, she started to see through it, and then she got completely healed. So you know. It's done. When God says something, it's done. When God says light be, light was. You know, when God says this, it is done. Now we can speak in that same authority and manner. You know, we can if we believe. And it's all about believing it. Getting that, you know, if we're going to use our emotions, you use your emotion in what you're saying and believing. You don't let your emotions stop you from believing. Like you can have emotions of fear. Right, and that can stop you from manifesting the blessings of God, right? Because the fear there is making you weak or making you all shook up inside. When we know that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, yeah? So God has not given us a spirit of fear. So I'll say that. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. If I ever feel any presence of fear, because I certainly haven't got any in me, but if I get a sudden fear, or you know, or which can come in any manner or form, no, then I'm like, no, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, even if I'm afraid. Because when I keep moving forward, even when I'm afraid, it's basically called courage. And what did God say to Joshua? No, be strong, be of a good courage. So Joshua had fears and apprehensions, but he believed God's word and kept moving forward. He kept meditating on what God has said. And he kept saying that, and he kept seeing that in his heart and his mind. And that's how you're going to start manifesting the labourers, the abundance, the fellowships. Mark 11:23, what does he say? You know, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall believe those things which he say in his heart, and doubt not, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Full faith is no doubts. There's, you know, we've eradicated doubt out of there, and we're going to command something, and we're going to know it's going to happen. We're certain of what we say will happen. That's having faith. Mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. Now, I'm not figuring out how's that mountain going to move. I'm just telling it to get out of the way, and it has to do it. It has to obey. Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and it died backwards. Now, he didn't know it's going to die backwards, or maybe he did, but he didn't say that, did he? Does it? Just said that he cursed the fig tree, and it withered away overnight. It died. And so he just cursed it. He said, nothing's going to, you know, anybody eat anything after you hereafter forever. And then the next day, you know, Peter seen it, say, Lord, remember the tree that you cursed is dead. And then Jesus said that, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you received it, and you shall manifest it, you shall have it. So whatever you, that word desire, whatever you, when you pray, whatsoever you desire when you pray, that word pray or the word desire means to call for. Whatever you call for. So what do you do when you pray? You're calling out to God. You're speaking to God. Whatsoever things you call for when you pray, believe that you've, what? Receive it. And you shall have it. In other words, you've got to see it in your, you've got to see that it's already done. I already have this. Yeah, you may not manifest it immediately, but in your mind, you've already seen it. Yeah, this is mine. And then you'll get it. It'll just come to you. God will make a way for it to get to you. So, you know, what fills the heart overflows in words. So what have we been filling our hearts and minds with? Who have been listened to? That's why it's important to listen to the sound doctrine, to connect with the right place. So you get in the right words. You know, imagination, if it's full of like worries and fears and lack, and, you know, these words again align with the image inside our hearts and minds. And then that's what we manifest, not a lot. But when the imagination is filled with the truth of God's word and who we are in Christ and the promises of God and those wonderful rhema words from God, and then our words will become faith-filled. You know, they'll be faith-filled words. And they will agree with God. And then we can call those things which are not as though they were, like in Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, when God says, you know, he calls those things which are not as though they were, light be, you know. Devils flee, go, leave, stretch forth thine hand. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Take up thy bed. Fever be gone. A blind eye see. Deaf ears hear. Maid, rise up. Now we speak it, we got to see it as we're speaking it. You can see it in your mind. Then what you see in your mind is what you call forth. Right? So that's when our faith is made visible. Like in James, it says, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being alone. So we're acting according to what the picture we hold inside. And true faith always produces things that are formed and aligned in action. So it's not just thinking it and speaking it. We've got to act in the way, we've got to move, take the right actions as God inspires us, and he gives us the actions to take, you know. So basically, just we want to be in preparation, we want to prepare our hearts by meditation, we want to be obedient to what God is saying. We've got to have courage in certain situations when it seems like nothing's happening, or we're a little bit you know, fearful. God wants us to be generous. We've got to have service. And, you know, now, our inner image influences the steps we're going to take, you know? Because, like, if you think, if you're getting ready to go to work tomorrow, in your mind, you'll be thinking, well, I need my socks, need clean pair of socks, my pants, my vest, and my uniform. Oh, and I need to take this to work. And in your mind, you're playing it out. You know, and then you wake up in the morning, and then you see yourself, right, I need to go to the bath, and you see yourself doing it, and then you go and do it. And it's the same with faith, that's how we move. So again, like emotions. So if you look at emotions, you know, our emotions are not an enemy, right? If we're using it in the right way, because like I said, we can have emotions of faith, not fear. You know, emotions are not the enemy, and they're meant to serve our faith, not fear. So like I said, it says in Philippians, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So God wants our emotions move from anxiety to prayer and to thanksgiving. And he wants it to be settled in peace, which guard our hearts and minds. Why? So that we can think clearly, we can have those proper images. And when we imagine with peace and thanksgiving, we are agreeing emotionally with God's faithfulness and not with the problems, right? So the emotions become energy. That strength, the inner picture of the promises, rather than the energy that feeds the fear. Oh, I'm never going to see the word move. It's never going to happen. It's the same year in, year out, day in, day out. You know, we say all these things, but I've still not seen anything yet. We've got to get rid of that type of thinking and confession. So we can, you know, we can manifest what we imagine. And it's a yes and yes from God. All the promises of God are yes in Christ and amen. So when we're submitted to God and we're aligned with what God wants, then we can definitely manifest what's in our imaginations, because our minds and our thoughts and our words are going to be lined up with the will of God and with what God wants for our lives, yeah? You know, and we're filled with the words and promises. You know, we're saying what God says about stuff, and we know the promises of God to us, and we claim them, thank God for them, they're ours. You know, and you know, and we're carried by faith and through the thanksgiving and peace. And then we're releasing the authority for our spoken words. So that's the authority of Christ in us, hope, glory, you know. And through our obedience and doing the right thing, we're acting on God's word. We're not talking about, you know, the five sense things. Anything I can imagine and have. We're not talking about that. We're talking about moving with the revelation of God. God's revelation to your heart. What he's spoken to you. So imagination. Our imagination needs to be in partnership with God's revelation. Right? What God has spoken and revealed to us. Like, you're going to move the word in all of France and Africa. So your imagination needs to be in partnership with that. Like, my imagination needs to be in partnership with God's words. So if you're going to move the word in all of the UK and the whole of Europe, and listen, very shortly these things will start to really begin without any effort from me or you, or even words, because I already see it done. I've already been practicing this way, and so it's going to come into fruition, because God is for it's God's purposes, not Lawrence's purposes. I'm just the vessel, a tool unto honour, like, you know, a believer that believes God and are expecting to move with God and serve him and do the things he wants. So, you know, when the things you are imagining are in line with the nature of God, his heart is rooted in, you know, the redemption of God, is motivated by love and blessings, and it lines up also with what the scriptures say, right? You know, it's there in the word. We can see it's word orientated. Then you are working with God's design and not against it. Like in for an example, Psalms 37, verse 4, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So it's as you delight in him, he shapes your desire. Those desires become images, God's images in your heart. And as you feel, think, speak and act in line with them, they become part of your life. They're starting to manifest, they're starting to show up, you know, and we get what we want and we get what we say. We're not getting the wrong things because we've been doing the right things. So like, I've been thinking, you know, just working with different people and speaking to many people about, you know, like, when a footballer, like my grandson Finney, he's playing football and he's getting really good at it, but his dad Nick is very good with him, and he'll take time with him and he'll teach him different skill sets. He'll teach him what he basically learnt when he was young. He'll teach him how to do football drills how to dribble the ball, how to tackle. No, all properly done. He's got it all set up in the garden. And so every day, you know, after school, Finney would be practicing. And this kid is naturally gifted by God to run through people with a ball at his feet and to score great goals and to pass. And he's got great imagination of the game. And he gets frustrated because the other kids are not like him. So when he passes the ball, they don't score a goal with it. And he's expecting them to score the goal because he's practiced and he knows he should score a goal. It's quite funny to see it, but it's great. It's, you know, it's great discipline. So he has to learn also that not everyone is at the same level. But he's got the mind for the football. He's got the mind to see further ahead of him. He's got the mind to know when to pass that ball or when to just keep the ball and run with it and then take his chance and score a goal. And by doing that, he scored like 8 goals in one game and stuff like that. He's really, really good. And sometimes Nick will put it on his Facebook and, you know, or he'll send it to me. He's not very good at sending over the videos to me, but like when he does, he's like, oh yeah, here's a video of Finney, or Leanne, if Leanne goes, she a video, and he's really good. But anyway, so, you know, these little routines, what do? Like, there's little routines we can do, and that's that we present our minds and imagination to God. Like Romans 12, 1 and 2, you know, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed. Don't be like this world, to this world, you know, but be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind. That's the practice. So we practice confessing, we practice imagining, we practice saying what we want, not what we see, type of thing, yeah? And God was showing me this type of thing. And then, you know, and then we can also see different things in the scripture that maybe covers our situation. You know, it's like, for an example, you know, you might think that our task is really big for us to move the word of God in all of the UK and Europe and USA. Wow, and you've only got a handful of people right now? Well, what did God say to Joshua? Only be thou strong. Thou shalt meditate in my word day and night, right? That's what God said to Joshua. And that's what God would say to us. Only be thou strong. Be very courageous. Don't doubt. Meditate upon these things. Speak these things. Imagine these things. And then move where you can move, you know? And so, you know, practicing forming the pictures inside of our mind. No, in agreement with what God says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And yes, I see myself working with labourers. I see myself travelling around UK, getting on buses, trains, planes and automobiles and ships and boats and whatever it is to get to where I need to go to. I see it in my mind, travelling, and people greet me at the door and welcome me in, and then sharing and ministering and encouraging and meeting the new believers, you know. And that, you know, and also a great thing to put with that is being really thankful for what we got right now and joyful for what we got, seeing it is already done for us. We can rejoice. Like, see yourself, like Frank, you can already rejoice. I can already rejoice that we've moved the word in all of the UK, all of Europe, France, and thing, even without going outside your front door, because you've seen it in your mind and already rejoice, like it's already done, you know. And then we speak the word and the vision regularly. We say it every day. I'm moving God's word in all of the UK, in all of the Europe, all of the USA, all of France, all of Africa. These things are happening for me because my God is faithful, and I call those things to me. I call the labourers. I call the open doors. I'm calling those things which are not manifested as though they were manifested. And then they become manifested. And that's exactly what God done. Light be and light became. All right. So, but we, and you can practice this on small things, you know, and then move with it, act upon it. And then we guard our heart and our imagination. So how do we do that? We just replace wrong images with the truth of what God says we are, right images. You know, we cast down imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, Lawrence, Frank, you're going to move the word in all of France and Africa, Oh, and then the little voice comes, oh, no, you're not. You're not good enough. Who do you think you are? Do you think you're so smart that you can do that? God wouldn't use you to do that. And you say, you shut up. And I bring you into, you shut up in the name of Jesus Christ. And I am moving God's word. So then you say what God says, yeah? So when you do this with God, these practices with God and your prayer and your desire and your taking to God, you're not trying to make anything happen. Just that you're keeping your focus and you're saying what God says. You've seen yourself like you've already done it. You've already accomplished it. And over time, right, it doesn't just change your circumstances. It changes you. Right? Your identity becomes like Christ. You know, more Christ-like. You'll really start to believe and see how Jesus moved. And you'll understand God will give you that spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Your confidence will soar sky high. Nothing will faze you, and it'll bring you closer in your walk with God, just like Moses was the friend of God, you know, and Abraham walked with God, and Jesus walked with God, and David, and Solomon, and all these different situations and people with their relationships. You know, God's work, they were the same as us, apart from we got the Spirit of God within, but they were people that had to look to God, that had a task that God had given them and put in their heart. But only God could bring it to pass, but it took their cooperation. And through the journey of their life, they learned to trust God. They learned to move with God. They learned God's ways. Like, you know, the children of Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses knew the ways of God. He knew how God moved. And now we're learning how God moves, how he does stuff, you know. Now we copy God. We imitate God as dear children, you know. So this is like something that's been brewing in my heart for a long time, just thinking it over. No, the power of the imagination is there. God's given it to us to use. Just like he's given us a voice to use, a mind to think, ears to hear, eyes to see. And the imagination is the spiritual eye, in a sense, really, if you think about it. Because that's, you know, the words come into the mind. Like Isaiah 26 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. And that word mind is yatzah, Hebrew word yatzah. And it means imagination. It means a frame. So, you know, what do you put in a frame? You put pictures in a frame. And the words that are filling, are giving the pictures are the words from God. And we're trusting those words. And that's in our imagination. So we see it already done. So you can already see your victory. You can already see your deliverance. You can already see the labourers. You can already see the abundance. I can. And it's just a matter of time before that shows up. You know, in God's perfect timing. In the meantime, we're moving. We're encouraging. We're saying the right things, not the wrong things. We're calling those things which are not as though they were. We're not slipping back into the old nature. Oh, it's not going to happen. Oh, no, maybe I'm just kidding myself. No, maybe this imagination stuff is wrong. Maybe this confession stuff ain't right. We're not going there. You know, we are fully persuaded that what God has said he's going to do, he's going to do. That God is willing to do it and he's fully able to do it and he's going to do it. And all we got to do is come into agreement and think and speak and act like God. You know, and because we have his nature in us. And that's what's in my heart to share on those things, brother.